was the year.
Recreating notable events of passing time. Reviving memories of men and women who have contributed to the history of a modern world. ...1896, that was the year. The annals of every year since time began hold the history of at least one event that by the sheer shock of its violent audacity remains long in the minds of men. Such an event was the memorable Jameson Raid, which had its culmination in the year 1896. Previously, for a long period of time, there had existed in South Africa bitter rivalry between the Boers of Dutch descent and the Uitlanders of British, Belgian, and French descent. The British settlers felt keenly that the Boers, under the leadership of President of the Transvaal Republic, Paul Kruger, by excessive taxes, high-handed control of elections, control of the courts, inadequate schools, and by any means at hand, were forcing British capital and British industry from the rich mineral lands of the Transvaal. It is July of 1896, in the Queen's Bench Division of the High Court of Justice in London, England.
Now, my lords, gentlemen of the jury, allow me to review briefly the sequence of plotting which led directly to this most unfortunate occurrence, the so-called Jameson Raid. Granted that within the hearts of these men there burned the unquenchable longing for a voice in the government of the Transvaal Republic in South Africa. For example, there was the ill-advised and inauspicious manifesto issued by Charles Lennard.
What do we want? We want, first, the establishment of this republic as a true republic. Second, a constitution which shall be framed by competent persons selected by representatives of the whole people. Third, an equitable franchise law and fair representation. Fourth, equality of the Dutch and English languages. Fifth, responsibility of the legislature to the heads of the great departments. Sixth, removal of religious disabilities. Seventh, independence of the courts of justice. Eighth, liberal and comprehensive education. Ninth, efficient civil service with adequate provision for pay and pension. Tenth, free trade in South African products. That is what we want.
That, my lords, was the flint spark which touched off this whole affair. Next, we know that last year, Dr. Jameson and Her Majesty's own premier in Cape Colony, Cecil Rhodes...
But Cecil, we must have action, and we need your help.
Very well, Jim. I shall stand with you.
Good. Now, here are the plans. I shall gather a force of about 800 men at the Transvaal border.
And now, my lord...
I shall remain until
gentlemen, we have also presented into evidence the deciphered secret messages sent between certain parties to this conspiracy.
December 23rd, 1895, to Dr. Jameson, Fitzenny. Company will be floated next Saturday, 12 o'clock night. They very anxious you must not start before Saturday night and secure telegraph silence. We suspect Transvaal getting away slightly. Harris, Cape Town.
What does Harris mean? Must not start before Saturday night. We're ready to start now, and by gad, we're going to start. This cause must not be lost.
And now, we know that Dr. Jameson did start. That word reached the Reform Committee in Johannesburg that Cecil Rhodes' brother, Colonel Francis Rhodes, distributed arms among the Uitlanders in that city. That Jameson and his so-called raiders were met and captured at Doornkop by the Boer forces. Shortly after, we all know Cecil Rhodes was found to have acted in a manner inconsistent with his duties as Prime Minister of Cape Colony and resigned his premiership in January of this year. If these men now facing English justice are not punished by the Crown for their part in this Jameson raid, the government will be guilty of rescinding their agreement with the President.
Late in the afternoon of July 28, 1896...
The prisoners will stand and face the court to receive sentence. You have all been found guilty by a jury of your peers on charges of violating the Foreign Enlistment Act, and it is now the duty of this court to mete out sentences commensurate with your guilt. Dr. Leander Starr Jameson, this court sentences you to 15 months' imprisonment in Holloway Prison without labor. Major John Willoughby, this court sentences you to...
And so ended the hapless Jameson raid. But the effects of this move were to be long-lasting, finding their culmination in the Boer War, the flight of Paul Kruger, and the complete and permanent control of Great Britain in the South African territories under question. And although Cecil John Rhodes had resigned as Premier of Cape Colony, he did not cease his tireless efforts in behalf of his beloved Queen and her government.
Sunday, August 23, 1896, Bulawayo, South Africa.
The chieftains and warriors of the belligerent Matabele tribes are gathered for a conference with the white chieftains. Finally, a horse gallops into view, comes to a halt near the natives. Cecil Rhodes dismounts, strides to the most befeathered of the Matabele chiefs.
Sekumbo, my brother, I greet you.
White Bwana Rhodes Mooka, I greet you. You carry gun?
No, Sekumbo. I am unarmed. I come to you and your warriors to tell you must not fight your English brothers.
We make peace with condition.
Yes? And what is the condition, Sekumbo?
You must stay here.
I?
You must stay here, South Africa. Watch over Sekumbo and his warriors.
Yes, Sekumbo. I'll not leave you. I shall remain in South Africa.
Good. Then we lay down gun and assegai. Basi! Basi! Hau! Basi! Now, Sekumbo and warrior make peace.
Thank you, Sekumbo. This sort of thing is enough to make life worth living.
...1896. That was the year.
Moscow, Russia, May 26. In the awesome, hushed atmosphere of the Cathedral of the Assumption, in a small anteroom stand two gorgeously robed figures, Nicholas Alexandrovich Romanov and his wife, Alexandra Feodorovna.
Nicholas, we shall soon be Tsar and Tsarina of all the Russias.
Oh, yes.
What worries you, Nicholas? All this day you have been suffering.
Alexandra, I am not prepared for this great task.
Oh, why do you say that? You are the most regal
no,
of all.
No, no. A monarch must do more than wear uniforms. He must shoulder more than a robe of ermine. There have been ill omens today.
Omens?
Yes, signs which bode ill for my reign. In the festival celebrating our coronation, 3,000 of my subjects were trampled to death. Festival! And just now, as we came to the steps of the cathedral, the imperial chain fell from my breast. Mark you, Alexandra, mark what I say. The reign of Nicholas II is doomed.
Your Imperial Majesties, everything is ready.
Oh, yes, yes, thank you. Come, Alexandra. The death march is being played for us.
Later, in the torch-lit cellar of a house in Tobolsk, Nicholas Alexandrovich, last of the Romanov dynasty, which had occupied a trembling throne for 3 centuries, his empress and their 5 children were shot to death by a Soviet commissar.
1896, that was the year
that Alfred Bernhard Nobel, creator of dynamite and smokeless powder, died on December 10, leaving a will establishing funds for annual prizes to be awarded under his name. One of these prizes, by Nobel's own words, is awarded each year
to the person who shall have most or best promoted the fraternity of nations and the abolition or diminution of standing armies and the formation and increase of peace congresses.
1896, that was the year
that from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Canada to Mexico, gay citizens of the U.S. were tripping a fast waltz to the 3-4 tempo of
East side, west side, all around the boys and girls together, he and maybe O'Rourke, trip the life fantastic on the sidewalks of New York.
That's where Johnny Casey, little Jimmy Crow, with Jakey Krause the baker, who always had the dough. Pretty Nellie Shannon, with a dude as light as core, first picked up the warm step on the sidewalks of New York.
East side, west side, all around the town, the tops hang green and rosy, London Bridge is falling down. Boys and girls together, me and maybe O'Rourke, trip the life fantastic on